Welcome to CLM Sports. This is another edition on WDOT Port Washington. Today we have an exclusive show, and we have a very important guest to us and to many in the hockey community, especially Islanders fans, Chris King. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
So we're going to start out today. How beneficial has the addition of Jordan Eberle been to the New York Islanders so far this year?
Well, it's been huge, guys. You know, it's interesting how it started. You know, obviously the plan in the offseason was to play him on the top line with John Tavares and Anders Lee, and he spent the first 10 games of the season there and didn't score any goals. So Doug Weight decided, you know, let me put together that top line as it was last year, putting Josh Bailey in that spot on right wing and moving Jordan Eberle down to a second line with Matt Barzell and Andrew Ladd. And ever since, you know, Jordan has just taken off. He had a huge game-winning goal in Ottawa on Saturday night, and after not scoring at all in his first 10 games, he now has 9 goals in his last 13 games. So it's been a huge addition to the Islanders. The chemistry didn't work the way they thought it would with Tavares, but he has really found a nice groove now with Matt Barzell, who's been unbelievable, you know, for a rookie in the middle, and then Andrew Ladd on the other side. And it's taken to me a lot of pressure off the top line, and teams now, you know, can't just match up against one line when you're facing the New York Islanders. They have to try to match up against two, and that frees up John Tavares' line to have a little more room to work as well.
Yeah, that first line's been pretty impressive so far. And speaking of Matt Barzell, the rookie has impressed many eyes so far this year. Right now, he is leading all rookies with 23 points and leading all rookies with 17 assists as well. What is your opinion on Barzell's chance for the Calder Trophy?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great race, and he has turned it into one because of, you know, the way he's turned it on. Again, he, too, started really slow, you know, before Jordan Eberle was moved alongside him. He only had 3 points in his first 9 games, but now he's got 20 points in his last 14 games. So, obviously, the guys you're looking at right now, Clayton Keller, who, you know, we've seen come in with Arizona, having a terrific season, and tomorrow, when Vancouver arrives, we'll get to see Brock Besser, who is also, you know, right up there with Barzell as far as points go. And I think the other guy you have to include right now is the great young defenseman for the New Jersey Devils, Will Butcher. So I really think it's those four guys who are in the running right now. But the way Barzell has come alive, and, you know, he has that outright lead in assists and really seems to find a nice groove in between two real veteran guys who know how to score. Andrew Ladd has an unbelievable shot, unbelievable release, and Jordan Eberle and he have really worked well together. I think, you know, Barzell is going to be in the mix with those other three from here to the end to see which one of them, you know, will be named Rookie of the Year.
So the Islanders, they've won 6 out of their last 7 games. They're on a 3-game winning streak. What does it take for them to beat a Canucks team that has surprised a lot of people this year?
Yeah, and they certainly have. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup tomorrow. The Islanders haven't had a 4-game winning streak all year. This is their 3rd 3-game winning streak, and that was kind of the rub a year ago. A year ago, they had 5 different 3-game winning streaks, and it took them until the last 6 games of the year when they won the final 6 in a row to finally win more than 3. So I think, you know, this team is much improved over last year. But you look at this Vancouver team, and, you know, the interesting angle for us tomorrow night is Travis Green is the former Islander, and he's the rookie head coach. And, you know, they've gotten off to a real nice start. You look at their record, 11-9-4, and particularly on the road, they're 8-4-1, and those 8 road wins are among the tops of any team in the National Hockey League. And they had 2 tough 1-goal losses in the metro area after starting a 6-game road trip with wins in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, impressive wins. You know, they had a 1-goal loss to New Jersey in regulation, and they had that shootout loss in 7 rounds to the Rangers at Madison Square Garden yesterday. So I look at it as a terrific matchup, but I do think, you know, the way the Islanders have been at home this year, 7-0-2, the only team in the league that hasn't lost in regulation on home ice, is going to help carry them over Vancouver tomorrow. And again, the Islanders' schedule is very light as well. The Islanders only have 2 games in an 8-day span this coming week.
Yeah, Islanders have been very impressive at home so far. We saw them get that big win against the Flyers last Wednesday in overtime. And also, speaking, if you talk about Josh Bailey, he's been a real playmaker for the first line so far this year. He has 23 assists, and we're only 23 games into the season. If he keeps up this pace, he'll have 82 assists by the end of the year. And that would be almost double his career high in a season. How do you feel about his play so far?
Yeah, I mean, you look at a year year ago, he set that career high yet last year with 43 assists and 56 points.
Yes.
But you're right, and I always talk about that every game now. You know, going into the Ottawa game, it was 22 assists in 22 games, and, you know, picked up another to make it 23 and 23. So that's quite the pace, and it's amazing, you know, how he just seems to get better with age. Because last year we talked about, you know, his career-high numbers in assists and points. That was his ninth season as a New York Islander, and now he's in his 10th. He's the longest-tenured player. But he really has just found his groove with John Tavares and Anders Lee, two guys that are very easy to play with. The power play has been red hot, so he's been piling up the points there. That's where he picked up his point in Ottawa Saturday on the Anders Lee power play goal. So, you know, the Islander power play having scored goals now in six straight games is a big reason why Bailey continues to pile up those helpers. But, you know, just to see him now top three in the league in assists and even, you know, top 10 in points, some of the names he's up there with are guys that, you know, he certainly hasn't been with that company in the past, but it's been great to see.
Well, one of the reasons that Josh Bailey has so many assists this year is because he's playing with John Tavares. And the big question for the Islanders is that his contract ends at the end of the season. Chris, what do you think it will take for the New York Islanders to re-sign Tavares?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, but it's going to be more than $1 million, right, guys? But you know what? That is the biggest question that the Islanders will face until it gets resolved one way or the other. I think, you know, when the Belmont bid, which the Islander ownership has made to try to build a brand-new arena in Belmont, if they win need the right to do that, I think that would go a long way to giving John Tavares all the information he needs. He's always said the right things, you know, that he wants to stay here. He's played his entire career here. I think, you know, he's a very proud New York Islander. He knows the history very well. He wants to be the guy that raises the Stanley Cup for them once again and, you know, hopes to get a chance to do that. So I think that's the one factor that still hasn't been decided yet. And if the Islanders get awarded the right to build a new arena on the Belmont Racetrack area and that information hopefully comes sooner rather than later, well, then, you know, I think John Tavares might make the move to get this contract done and not, you know, make the entire world of Islander fans wait any longer. You don't want to have it become a situation like Steven Stamkos had in Tampa a couple of years back where, you know, July 1st he would have become unrestricted free agent and he signed 2 days before the deadline. Because then you really risk, you know, you have a huge risk in that if you don't get him signed and he goes elsewhere, you get nothing in return. So the longer it goes on, kind of the more scary it gets from the Islander side of things, and they're hoping that they can get this taken care of sooner rather than later.
And one quick last question. Where do you think the Islanders are in the process of creating a new arena? Where do you think they'll end up in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, guys, that, you know, the Belmont bid does happen because John Ledecky, the co-owner, has said, you know, we're putting all our eggs in that basket. So that really, to me, is the only realistic place they can go as far as a new arena. I know, you know, they're going to play this year, they're going to play next year at Belmont for sure. They think that even if they get the shovel in the ground as quickly as possible, you know, maybe in the spring, the earliest they could play at the new arena outside Belmont Racetrack there would be the 2020-2021 season. So that would leave them needing, you know, 1 year in between to play somewhere. I'm sure they could play another year at Barclays, possibly 1 year at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum as just a one-year thing if the new building needs an extra year to be completed. Maybe even Madison Square Garden, because I know the folks at the Garden have, you know, helped consult on the new building with John Ledecky. But I don't think, you know, there is any other place where a new arena could be built other than Belmont. I think the City Field one has kind of gone by the boards. I don't think they're looking, you know, out in Suffolk County, which some had said they might have been a few years back. And, you know, John Ledecky has said that the current, you know, Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, despite the redo, is not an option either just because it doesn't have enough seats and luxury suites as well. So I think, as the owner said, all the eggs are in the Belmont basket, and let's hope that, you know, Belmont comes through and the Islanders have a new home in 2 or 3 years to call all their own.
Well, thanks so much for calling in to CLM Sports today on WDOT Port Washington.
Anytime, guys. Great talking hockey with you and great questions as well. Thank you.
All right, and you can check out Chris King on WRHU Radio, Hofstra University, 88.7 FM. So once again, thanks, and to our listeners, thanks for tuning in to our special interview today.